Well, good evening, North Elevation Church. We're going to ask that you you stand as you're able in just a minute. Actually, we wear so many hats here that our drummer, also our assistant media coordinator back there, is having to deal with a issue. And so we're just going to sit up here and fiddle and look beautiful, and you can stare upon us. I know that's probably a sin of some sort, but it's okay. Just look, you know, hang around, say hello to people. We have still some people coming in. I can see the car lights coming through the door. So those people that usually normally get late to worship, they're going to be here on time today. So just give us a few more minutes and we'll get started.
Listen, God, who never fails, will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. Listen, God, who's never late, is working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will get you high.
Yes, I will, oh my God. love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In the darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, known you as a friend. Goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness. sound of his voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. And through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well with me. Mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. And through it all, my eyes are blue. And through it all, it is well. And through it all. It is well. It is well. So let go, my soul, and trust in Him. The waves and winds still know His name. So let go, my soul, and trust in Him. The waves and it is well with me. Because of the Lord our God, because of Jesus, we can say, it is well with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And you may be seated. We want to welcome everyone that's here. And we're so glad you're here in this first Wednesday service. And tonight we want to give you the opportunity. If you need prayer for healing, if you need a healing, whether it's physical, whether it's an emotional healing, whatever type of healing you need, we want to give you that opportunity because the Spirit of the Lord is here. His manifest presence is here to touch you, to heal you, to heal your broken body, to heal your sick body, whatever physical ailment, He's here to heal you. If your emotions need healing, He's here to heal that, those emotions or that broken heart. He's here to heal. He's here for you because He loves you so much. So I want to give you the opportunity now. If you need healing, I want you to stand and we're going to pray together and we're going to believe God for that healing. All we have to do is believe, and we believe that Jesus is our healer, don't we? We believe that He's already paid the price for our healing. So all we have to do is believe that He's done it and receive it. So we believe and we receive tonight. And if there's any others, I'm going to give you the opportunity to stand. And healing will come. Healing is here. Oh, thank you, Father God. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that as we're here in your presence, oh God, that you are releasing your healing power in this place tonight, that you are releasing your healing power upon everyone that has stood and said, Lord, I believe and I receive my healing. Lord, I thank you, oh God, that by Jesus' wounds we are healed, that Jesus already paid the price for our healing. And so, Lord, we receive it as done now, that it is done. And we receive that healing. And we thank you, oh God, for your goodness and your mercy and your love. And that you want us to be healed. You want us to be whole. And you want us to be free. So we receive it now in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you for it, Lord. And we declare that it is done now. And whatever you're believing for, you declare it is done now. It is done in the name of Jesus. And every day you declare it is done in the name of Jesus. I receive it because I believe in the Lord my God. I believe that Jesus is my healer. And so I receive it done. So you just declare that every day and you thank Him for your healing. Praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
We are grateful that you're here tonight for our second First Wednesday as the band transitions off the stage now. Why don't you stand and you can give some air high fives or whatever. Maybe there's somebody you haven't spoke to yet tonight. Won't you step across and tell them hello? And as you're doing it, look out there and wave at the cameras to everybody that's watching us tonight and let them know that you're recognizing they're with us and welcome them to this service tonight. I'm going to ask all of our staff and pastoral care team to come and prepare. We're going to go into a season of prayer for families. Each of our pastoral care team members and some of the staff have assignments tonight of prayer. And we're just going, they're going to share with you what they're going to be praying about. I encourage you to be praying where you're at. Y'all need to go ahead and come on up this way so that you'll be ready. We're going to pray over some different areas. The altars are open. You can come around and pray if you want to stay in your seat and pray. They're just going to come up one after the other tonight as we just believe for God to move in families. Amen. And Pastor Colin's going to bring a message later about families, and we're going to be introducing a new video about what God is doing here in just a little bit. But right now, let's just begin that time of getting ready for the prayer time. And so I'm just going to ask you to just take a moment right now as I make the last announcement. If you want to give, you have your offering already with you tonight. There are buckets back in the back. As you go out, you can leave your offering. But I'm going to ask everyone, just close your eyes right now and just get separated right now from the day. Just get separated from the day. And just get focused on hearing and agreeing with the prayers that you're going to hear tonight. It's about the power of agreement. So as they pray, we want to be in agreement and believe God, just like we did a while ago for healings, to believe God to do miracle after miracle after miracle of restoration, healing, and life in families. Matt and Brenda.
Oh, Lord Jesus, Father God, we just come before you right now. We thank you for all that you have done already in marriages, in this building, in this body, and even beyond. We thank you, Lord, for men who have learned how to truly love their wives. And we thank you, Lord, for women who have learned how to respect their husbands. And we just thank you, Lord, that you are bringing our couples closer together and marriages stronger. And Lord, we just thank you that these marriages are like the bride of Christ is to the church. And we are a living testimony to all those outside the church. And I just thank you, Jesus, that you have given us the guidebook to show us the way. And we just thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. We know that you created marriage and that you call a man and a woman to separate from their families and to create a new union in that marriage, and that you ordain that, and that makes it good, Lord. But we also know that we're imperfect people, and we have two people with different hopes and dreams and desires that come together. Lord, teach us how to step back and step out of ourselves, look at our spouse, our husband, our wife, and say, what is the true cry of her heart? What is the true desire of his heart? How can I step out and serve my spouse, Lord? And in doing so, strengthen our union, strengthen our marriage. Lord, teach us how to take that and shine it far beyond just our union, but for that to be your light shining in the world, Lord. We pray that you use us, that you strengthen us, Lord. And we just thank you that you've created this institution called marriage, and we praise you for that in Jesus' name.
We're going to be praying about the schools. Father, we just come before you today, and we just lift up all these schools associated with NEC. And Father, we just pray blessings over each one of them. And Father, we just ask that you just touch the teachers, the coaches, and the directors, and Father, just everybody that's involved in the schools, Father, that you just give them peace, joy, and happiness, especially from this past year, Father, with all the struggles with COVID. And Father, we know that they're all under pressure from all this stuff, and it causes a lot more things for them to have to do and just put up with. And Father, we just pray peace for them right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just pray that you would just help them, Father, in every area, just to give them the desires of their heart. And Father, there's so many children that are lost in these schools, and I just pray, Father, that you would just show these teachers and children, Father, so they can just minister to them and just bless them, Father, and just be there for them in this hard time. And Father, we just thank you for what you're doing right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just give you all the praise and glory and honor. And we just thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. And Lord, we just want to also specifically lift up the school boards, those, Lord, that are in authority to make decisions on behalf of our schools, the curriculum, God. We pray for upcoming elections and transition of leaders, God, that you will raise up leaders that stand on godly principles and honor your word, Lord, and not succumb to pressure, Lord, to do something that goes against your word. And we know that there are some districts, God, that are still standing and holding ground for traditional faith and values. And we just pray, Lord, that they can continue to be the light, to be the beacon of hope, God. And we just thank you, Lord, that your hand is upon them, that even as they meet this week, Lord, that they make sound decisions. Give them wisdom, Lord. Give them the gift of discerning of spirits, Lord, to stand united in this land in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we also lift up the administration, God, the directors, Lord, and all the administrations in each and every school system. And Lord, we know that this has been a challenging year with COVID and then the snowstorm, God, and the shifting of schedules and just the announcement that came out yesterday. We pray, God, that they would make sound decisions, Lord. We pray for the peace of God that passes all understanding to keep their hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. And Father, we just ask, Lord, that you continue to keep the schools open, because we know that there has been an assignment from hell to segregate our youth, to put them in isolation, to cause them to be isolated, Lord. And we just pray, God, that our schools remain open and that they continue to learn and grow and flourish, that nothing will be lost, that everything that the enemy has meant for harm, you will turn it around and use it for good to the glory of God. And Lord, I lift up the guidance counselors, the counselors in these schools, Lord, today, oh God. They're short-staffed and they're seeing more and more students come into their office. Father God, I pray that you give them wisdom, God, that you give them hope, that you connect them to resources in the communities that can serve them and meet them at their need, that you give the families, the parents, whoever's taking care of the children, God, that they know, Lord, that they need to be paying attention, Lord, that they will see the enemy coming, Lord, and that they will see the warning signs, that they wouldn't be stuck in the box. I pray, God, to come out of the box in the name of Jesus and to speak forth light. Those who have been assigned in these schools, the teachers, the staff, the administrators, to shine your light, that will do that with courageousness and boldness in the name of Jesus, that they will open their mouth and that they will not be silent no more in the name of Jesus. And God, we just pray, Lord, for the teachers again, that they are under such a stress. They already have a hardest job in the world, God, and they're concerned about their own families and homes as schedules are changing, Lord. I just pray, God, for the oil of joy to rise upon them tonight in the name of Jesus, that they would have perseverance in their heart to persevere and to continue, Lord, to know that they are on an assignment in these classrooms, to not to see the children as numbers just to pass a test, oh God, but that they would be finding joy in their assignment, joy in their employment. And Father God, we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I pray, God, for the joy to rise above them. I pray for a fresh wind of your spirit to flow, God, and to give them the wind that they need to lift them up and bear them during this time, oh God, to cross the finish line, Lord. We only have about 11 or 12 weeks left. So I speak forth tonight, God, that they are being strengthened by the mighty power of God in the name of Jesus. And Lord, they are navigating two platforms, online and virtual. I just pray, God, that you just give them what they need to continue to finish strong in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask for your protection upon each and every one of them, Lord, their minds, God, that they would keep their minds stayed on you. And lastly, I bind the spirit of fear tonight and the power and authority of the name of Jesus Christ. I command you to be loosed in Jesus' name. And in its place, we call forth power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, love and a sound mind, that they will be transformed by the renewing of their minds by the word of God. And we just thank you, God, that all hope and joy and peace is upon the school system tonight. And one last request, God, and I know this is out of the box, but we pray, God, that prayer would be restored in our school system, that you will send students that are on fire, that are not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to start raising up and speaking forth the truth and light and hope in these places. And we just come into agreement with every prayer in this place tonight. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm going to pray for our kiddos. Lord, we just come before you and we just ask for our kids, God. They are our future. And I pray, Lord, that just with everything that has gone on, Lord, and just that you would touch hearts and you would reach them, that you would fill them with joy. And we speak life into every little one in every family, Lord. I pray, God, that you would bring healing and restoration. I pray, Father God, that you would just speak to their hearts, Lord, and you would put individuals in their life that just mentor them and love them and encourage them. And we speak protection over each of them, Lord, that the hand of the enemy, he cannot have them because they're yours. And we just call forth just angels to protect them and to surround them and to just be in every situation, Lord. And I just speak joy in families and love in families, and that there would be a peace, God, and that you would bring these families to church, Lord, to be ministered to and to love, just to be loved on, and just bring healing and restoration and just peace, Lord. And we thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
And we're praying for the youth. Lord, we just lift up all of the youth to you, Father God, all of the teenagers, Father, those in junior high, high school, and even those first in college. Father, Lord, they have things coming. The world is coming at them from every angle. And Father, telling them that, you know, to follow the ways of the world and that the things of the world are what where it's at. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that you will just rise up in them, Father God, for the ones that are in the high schools and the junior highs that do know you, Father, that you will just give them a boldness, Father God, to share you with everyone that they know, Father, and that they will know that it's going to be okay. Yeah, they may be ridiculed or people may make fun, but it's okay because they know you, and they want everyone to know you, Father God. And Lord, as it says, we've been hearing it, Lord, that it says in your word that in the last days that good will be considered evil and evil will be considered good. And so many of these kids, they think that evil is good and that it's normal, Father, and it's not normal. And so, Father, I just pray, Lord, that you will send those in their lives, Father God, to help them see the truth, Father God. And, Lord, that as they graduate high school, Father, that they will just make the right decisions, Father, and that they won't let the world persuade them, Father, that they will know the truth. And that the truth will set them free. And Father, just protect all of the youth. Father, they, like the children, are our future. They're going to be our next presidents and senators and school teachers and all those the people in the business worlds, Father. And Lord, just give them the knowledge and the wisdom and the guidance, Father, from you so that they can make the right choices and that they can lead our government and that they can lead the schools to what is right, Father, and that you will just bring truth back into this nation through our youth, Father God. And Lord, again, just rise up in the ones that are already serving you, Father, and give them a boldness and not let them be ashamed, Father, and let them know that they are doing your works, Father. And God, I just want that fire to just rise up in them, Father, like it was, gosh, back... dating myself back in the 90s, Father, we just had this fire in our souls and we wanted everybody to know you and we didn't care what they said about us because we loved you so much and we just wanted everybody to know you like we knew you. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that you will just bring that back, Father, into this generation, Father, but that they will be even more on fire and that they will be even stronger and even more bold, Father, and that they will literally change this nation. and bring it back to you, Father, that we will come back to you and be back on our knees in front of you, Father, and that they will be the ones that will lead us to that. In Jesus' name.
God, I love you so much. Father, there's not much more that I can add. God, there is a spiritual warfare that we are fighting. And Father, our children are in the front lines. So God, I ask that you put your angels of protection around them as they face the enemy they may not even know exists. God, this is the weirdest time for a group of goofball kids to be attacked. Lord, they don't even know how to get to school, let alone know how to go through the Bible and find you. But Father, allow us as parents to raise them up correctly. Allow us as parents to be the most important things in their lives as we show Jesus to them. Allow us as parents to break through the social media, to break through the influencers, to break through the YouTubers, to break through the media that just continues to plow down upon their heads. And God, let them see the truth in us. And let us be the light that shines you to them. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for all that you have done. We ask that you lift up this church and that you lift up our youth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sin started by disconnecting us in the garden, a disconnect that we still see today. Since sin first entered the world, we have been at war. The enemy sets out to disconnect us from God, to steal, kill, and destroy. Sin started by disconnecting us in the garden, a disconnect that we still see today. It's in our churches. It's in our families. In our communities. And throughout our country.
Any religious tradition ascribes as God's will is no concern of this Congress.
The world is attempting to disconnect God from everything we hold dear. But through Jesus Christ, the church can and must fight back. As a church, we start a new initiative to reconnect the disconnected, to reconnect faith to those who have given up, to reconnect families and communities that have been torn apart, to reconnect our country as one nation under God, and to reconnect people with God's church. It starts here. It starts now. It's time to reconnect NEC.
All right, NEC, so we will be starting a new campaign here at church called Reconnect NEC. And you saw some of the highlights that we're going to be doing. We're going to be talking about reconnecting the family, reconnecting the youth, reconnecting faith, reconnecting church. There are so many disconnected souls. It is our job as the church, and not a building, our job as the church to go and find and share the gospel of Jesus Christ and reconnect the lost to him. So I've been privileged this morning, or oh my gosh, this morning. Wow, okay. It's not Sunday, is it? It's not quite bedtime yet, but my brain is already there. Good evening. I've been privileged this evening to bring our first discussion on reconnection, and that's reconnecting the family. So if you're taking notes, you can call this the Great Family Disconnect. Now, as we talk about family, I do want to caution you, there are two types of family in the Bible. We're only going to talk about one tonight, but I do want to kind of mention the other one. You have your physical family, mom, dad, brother, sister, aunt, uncle. We have that family. But we also have a spiritual family. Now, Jesus is asked, Jesus is talked to in, let's see, it's Matthew 12. And somebody comes to him and says, hey, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are outside, and they need to talk to you. And Jesus uses this theological thought of, well, who are my mothers and brothers? These, and he begins to point to the disciples, they are my brothers. And he begins to explain that the family is no longer just mom, dad, brother, uncle, sister, aunt, that crazy aunt that, you know, we all don't talk about type of thing, but also a spiritual family. That those born into our family are one type, but those born again into the spiritual family is a second. But we're going to be talking about the first tonight. We're going to be talking about the ones you love the most, the ones that you're probably sitting next to, the ones that drive you crazy, your family. Ephesians 6:1-4 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in this land. Fathers, do not provoke your children into anger, but bring them up in the discipline of instruction of the Lord. Children, honor your mothers and fathers. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Those are the two things that we're going to talk about tonight. There's so many aspects of the family we could discuss, but I only have a few minutes. So those are the two things that we're going to talk about tonight, about reconnecting our families. So children, this one's for you. Parents, smile. Children, honor your mother and father. Now, I want to get something correct first. Children is misused a lot. So if, my wife and I, by the way, 19 years of marriage yesterday. So, to the same lady. Crazy, huh? Children, if we talk about our kids, we have one that's 18 and we have one that's 5. Yeah, I know. God has a sense of humor. If you tell me, if you ask me about a child, I'm probably going to talk about my 5-year-old. I don't really consider my 18-year-old a child. He is my child, but I don't think of him as child. So when the scripture says, children, honor your mother and father, a lot of us, the first thing we go to are little kids. Little kids should respect their parents. But as they grow up, well, that's something different. And I say, nay, nay. And let me tell you why. The Greek word used in this passage for children is technon, okay? It is a word that refers to the offspring of a couple. It's defined as a child of either sex. So it's not boy, girl, it's child. It's either one. You need to understand this. In the culture that it was written, children would stay in the homes of their parents until they were married. Now, what that is implying here is that if you still live under your parents' roof, if you're still letting mommy and daddy foot the bill, then you fit into children. Honor thy mother and father, no matter how old you are. That goes for you 20-somethings or 30-somethings that may have just happened to move back in with your parents. If you are still under their roof, you are under their authority. Now, as you get older, it's a little bit more understandable. And parents, as parents, we need to recognize as children grow up, they need to learn to make their own decisions. But that doesn't mean we allow them to make the wrong decisions. When we say, children, honor your mother and father, we are giving them permission to do good things. We are giving them permission to seek out and learn life. But we also know that it's almost a little bit on a leash. That if you stray too far off one way or the other, as a parent, it is our job to stop you. Now, for most children, that's not a bad thing. We tell them, no, you can't have that. No, you can't stay up till 4:00 in the morning. No, your boyfriend can't sleep over. You know, we have those types of rules, right? We also have the understanding and the idea that there are little things like you need to do the dishes, clean your room. And children, we are supposed to obey our parents in those places. And it's tough as a child to understand that because children think moment to moment. Parents think days, weeks, months ahead of time, right? You know that because if you've ever walked into your child's room and found a cup of yogurt that has been in there since 2014, you would understand that in that moment, that child thought, I will put this up later. Later came 6 years from now. A parent walks in, sees that, and goes, if they don't pick that up, if they don't go throw that away, that's going to stink. It's going to stink really bad. And they already smell bad enough. So a lot of children don't quite understand when we give them instruction because as a parent, we normally give instructions that think ahead of time. And children only think moment to moment. And that disconnects us often, doesn't it? As a parent, sometimes it's hard. We're just like, why don't you get it? Why don't you understand? Why can't you figure this thing out? Why is this taking so long? But how many times have you experienced this moment compared to how many times they've experienced this moment? If I told you and this is going to drive my wife crazy. If I told my wife right now to take the car and go drive somewhere that she's never been before, she's going to cry. And I'm not saying this to make fun of my wife. I'm saying this because this is truth. She hates going anywhere that she's never been 1,000 times before. She doesn't like driving to places that she's never been before. She can't understand how I can drive someplace 600 miles from here and 3 years later, drive right back to it like I was some homing pigeon. Amen. And she can't figure out which way Fort Worth and Dallas is when we get on the highway. And please never say the words northeast, south, or west, because those don't exist in her vocabulary. Tell me to go left, I will, but are you going south or north? Because that's going to make a difference, because if you turn left, you're either going to be going east or west. I don't understand what that means, and that's why we have Siri. But if I asked my wife to go do something, and I asked her to take a trip, go somewhere, it would take her forever to get there. And again, I'm not making fun of her, I'm just saying it would take her forever to find it. But once she found it, and if she did this trip constantly every single day, eventually, this would be second nature to her. She'd just get in the car, and she'd drive off, and she'd be at the place because she's done it over and over and over and over. But that first time, she freaked out because she didn't know. And children are like that. Often we say, why don't you get this? It's so simple. If it's 1 + 1 = 2, how can you not understand that? But you've done 1 + 1 = 2 for 40, 50 some odd years. They've never done it before. So when we talk about children, obey your mother and father, parents, we have to understand that sometimes giving instruction means slowing down. And that's not a bad thing. And that's not saying your child is slow. And that's not saying that there's anything wrong with spending time, but how often do we just throw something at them and then we walk off because we have other priorities? And it's hard for your child to follow your instructions when there's no communication and they don't understand. It's difficult. Not impossible, but difficult. And parents, I'm going to be preaching. You know what? I've been preaching this whole sermon to myself. So if you're getting anything out of this, hey, that's great. I got an 18-year-old and a 5-year-old, okay? I am like a weird ninja trying to figure out life right now. Because at one, I can get up in his face and I can be like, I can't understand why you can't do this. And the other one, I'm just like, Princess, would you go with Daddy to go get ice cream? She's like, whatever. And so it's crazy when we go back and we start studying these types of things in the Bible, we just have to learn. And guess what? We're doing something new too. Because our child at 5 is different when they're 16. It's something new every single time. But children, they ask often, so do I have to do everything my mom and dad tells me to do? Yes. But no. So Colossians 3:20 talks about children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. But all things always references to those things that God would be honored with. You are not required to do anything immoral or outside the will of God. That's also not an excuse. That's a real tough line, especially for kids, whoever I'm talking to, young people. That's a tough line. Because what would be the most horrible thing in the world? No, I'm not going to do that because that's not something God would want me to do. Instant death or instant grounding for the rest of your life. But that's the truth. And that's where communication comes in between parents and children. That if you walk into a situation where you're telling your child, just go tell your teacher this. Because it would be easier if we just kind of help them do a little fib and your child goes, but isn't that lying? It hurts when we get called out by something so innocent, right? In that moment, you have a decision, parents, to say, it'll be fine. Or, you're right, baby. God wouldn't want us to do that. But look what path you're taking them down. Because in one way, you're already saying it's okay to fib a little to your teacher. But it's not okay to fib to me. You can't lie to me. But it's okay to lie to them. Or, you're right. This doesn't honor God. So children, honor your mother and father with your whole heart. If you were ever asked something that you don't get, pause. Ask for instruction. If you as a parent are annoyed that your child is asking for instruction, you are too busy. And I hate saying that because, again, I'm preaching to a mirror right now. If they come up and you, and look, life happens, okay? We all have jobs. We all have things that we have to do. And I totally get that there's bills to get paid and there's things that we have, you know, I get all that. But you got to prioritize time with your kid. And if that means you have to stay up an extra hour so your kid makes an A, it's your kid. Which way do you want to raise them up? Do you want them to jump on that train and take off? Brings me back to our youth days. That was always our little one-liners. The second aspect that I want to look at in that scripture is, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. After all these three verses dedicated to how children should obey parents, one verse is given specifically for fathers. As the head of the household, the father is in charge with ultimate responsibility for the way that children are raised. In practicing this instruction, it means that both parents need to understand this by what Paul is saying. Fathers are commanded not to agitate or irritate their children. The Greek word for this is really weird, and I'm probably going to mispronounce it, but it's going to sound really cool, and you really don't know because none of y'all speak Greek anyway, so I shouldn't have probably said anything. Paratogize. Which implies exasperation or frustration. In practice, this means avoid unfair or cruel behavior or blatant favoritism. Godly fathers are not to punish their children towards anger. Anger can sometimes be an unhealthy emotion, but it often could lead us to sin. So fathers are given a position of command to bring them up In other words, Christians are expected to be highly involved in raising their own children. Paul first includes discipline. Discipline involves learning self-control and the ability to restrain from personal desires in order to do what is right. And second, Paul adds the instruction of the Lord, which should involve in teaching our children about God's way through both education and example. According to Scripture, a father trains the child he loves, he instructs them, and he provides for his children. The best example that I can put for this is raise your children as you would want God to raise you. It's pretty simple, right? How often, as adults, do we make a mistake and we go begging to God for forgiveness? Oh, I did it again. If you'll just get me out of this, Lord, I swear I'll never do this again. I swear. So what happens when our children come to us asking for the same thing? Do we condemn them? Do we attack them? Do we berate them? Do you want to get to heaven and God do the same to you? Now, it doesn't mean that you don't punish your children when they do something wrong. That doesn't mean that you don't put restrictions on them if they're not doing right. That doesn't mean that you don't push them in the right way, but it means how. How are you doing those things? As parents, we have to understand that we are as much involved in their life as anyone else. And you would rather them come to you than them come to their friends. None of us like getting punished. None of us like having things taken from us, children or adults. And you know that. You ever taken a lollipop from a child? You take it from them and they're like, oh, Father, you have doth hurt my feelings, taken my lolly. I cannot believe that you would do such a thing, but it's okay, I will forgive you. Kids don't do that. What do? You take it, they go, ah, and they freak out. Forgiveness is the key to family. Just as God's forgiveness to us is the key to our salvation. Be open to forgiving your children in everything they do. Because as you implant forgiveness in them, they learn forgiveness. It's not, forgiveness is not something that comes natural, right? The kid with the lollipop thought process, you take it from them and they're just like, ah, they freak out. And they scream and they yell. My little girl back there, my 5-year-old, she does this when she gets mad. She goes, argh! Don't know where she got that from, but I know I'm being watched. She gets mad. She goes, you're not coming to my party. And she runs off. I'm like, bro, you can't afford a party. So not sure what you're going to do there, but. And then she runs the other room. She slams the door. Argh! But we love them. Children, honor your mother and father. Parents, raise your child up in the Lord. That will reconnect your family. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, you forgot to give me the instruction manual when I got married. And I didn't ever read that chapter about children, because we would have never gotten that far if I had. Lord, it's confusing. Families are hard. It's not easy to raise up children in this day and age with the easy access to the world and just a small device, the imagery they see, the sounds they hear. It is not easy to be a parent who has to work 2 jobs or be a single mom, or a single dad, or a mixed family who's trying to figure each other out. It's just not easy. But you never promised us easy. But you have promised never to leave us and never to forsake us, to always be there, to lift our burdens and make them easier. God, we thank you. We thank you for the promise that you gave us. We thank you for the family that you have provided to us. And Lord, those of us who are estranged from our families, those of us who have hurt when we hear that word, God, I'm asking that you reconnect them, that you open their hearts to forgive them. God, that you allow them to seek them out. One phone call, one text message, just something that opens the bridge to reconciliation. Jesus, thank you for what you were about to do, reconnecting these families. I thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So that's it. We're done for the night. Am I forgetting something? I'm just close. Okay, so go home. We love you. We love you. But we got, we're going to keep these lights on. We're going to have to pay the bills. So y'all get out of here. God bless you.